Welcome to a recording of Titusville Free Methodist Church, a community planted in the forgiveness, freedom, and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your interest and pray that you are blessed as you listen to this relevant word.
All right, well, this is our fourth and final week of our Master Series. And so, you know, over the last few weeks, I have had more conversations with more of you about your finances and money than I ever have in my entire life. And I wish I was smart enough to answer your questions. So, when it comes to finances and handling our money the way God would want us to handle our money, like, that's something I'm learning and working on too. And so we're kind of in this boat together. But man, you know what? So when I've talked to some of you, I've been really excited for you, because some of you, you're trying. You're trying to get it. You're trying to do different things to honor God with your money. And I just want to give you a high five, because you're doing really, really well. There's others of you that when I talk to you, I want to shake you violently until you get it. I just want to grab you and say, get it! I haven't done that yet. It's the last week, so you don't have to worry. No one's getting shaken today. But man, you know what? Like, some of you are doing so, so well, and so this is going to be the last week. And so I want to remind you where we've been the last 3 weeks. So we started out by talking about our relationship with money. And we said that for most of us, our relationship with money is toxic. Our relationship with money is bad for us. Money controls us. So what are you going to eat for lunch tomorrow? I don't know. Got to check with money. My car needs to go in the shop and get some repairs done. Well, I better check with money first. I got to go to the doctor and get some tests done. Better check with my bank account first. Like, that's crazy, isn't it? Our lives and everything about us has become dictated by our bank accounts. I don't think that's what God intended for us. And we've ended up in this place in a myriad of ways. So for some of us, like, work's just been hard and there haven't been a lot of opportunities lately. And so our income hasn't been what we thought it would be, and we're just struggling in that way. Like, we're struggling with the problem isn't cash flow, the problem is there is no cash flow. And so we're struggling to find work and make meaningful money. Some of us, if we're being honest, we made some bad decisions. And we thought they were good ones, we thought they were going to pan out, but they didn't. And those decisions have had long-term ramifications on our finances. And for a lot of us, we're in this position where money has control of us because it's all we've ever known. Because that's what we saw from our parents, and maybe even that's what we saw from our grandparents and from other family members. Our relationship with money has been decided for generations. We've always been in the spot where money had control of us. So what do we do? Like, how do we get out from under the oppression of money and this servitude of money that for some of us have been in place for generations? So we've been unpacking three principles, and they come from John Wesley. John Wesley is the founder of the Methodist movement, and John kind of took the teachings of the New Testament on money and really said that they land on these three principles. The first one was earn all you can or gain all you can. So Pastor Tim brought that message, and we were talking about how to make money. And for the most part, the best way to make money is by being a good employee and working for an employer as if we're working for Christ. Like, so much of earning money is about who we are. So, like, there are some bad employers out there, right? Like, there are some people who just aren't good for their employees. But you'd be surprised how many opportunities open up for you if you're willing to work hard, show up on time, be taught, and you behave well when you're at work. Sometimes employers want to throw money at people like that because it's hard to find a person who will show up on time, work hard, are willing to learn, and behave well at work. Opportunities can open up when we honor Christ in who we are when we're at work. So that's earn all we can. Last week we talked about saving, and we said the trick to saving is actually in how we spend. The problem isn't getting money into our savings account. It usually slips through our fingers before we even have an opportunity, because we spend it on things. And sometimes those are those bad decisions we talked about. We invest in something that doesn't pan out, and other times it just gets away from us because we stop at places like Sheetz and we spend a little bit here and there, and the next thing you know, when we actually look at how much we've spent, oof, like it's a lot more than what we thought. And so we talked about how all of our finances are a gift from God, and he's given them to us to take care of, to steward for him. So if you do those two things, if you do your best to earn all you can, and you do your best to save all you can, like you'd be doing pretty well, and you'd be feeling like you were doing pretty well. But money would still end up being your master. When you got to the end of your life, you'd look back and say, oh, money still had me the whole time. Because that's what Jesus says. Jesus gives this great warning in Luke. Katie, can you give us the first couple verses of this Luke passage? So this is a parable. This is a story that Jesus told to kind of drive this point home. He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's like all of our dreams, right? Like, I want to work hard. I'm going to save my money so I can just like coast the rest of my life. Like, that's what all of us, I think, somewhere inside us, we wish our life ended up. So just thinking about this guy, and remember, so this is an agricultural society, so some of the things like grain, like just ignore. So let's put it in kind of our context here. So this guy, he worked hard. Like he put the effort in. He showed up, did his work, worked the ground. And then honestly, he probably caught some good breaks, right? So it's an agricultural society, so the weather matters a whole lot. And so he caught some good breaks of the weather. It rained the right amount, not too much, not too little. Sun was out, all those kinds of things. And then he didn't get rid of it all. He didn't spend it all. But he did a good job saving it. And so here he was going, I can just retire. I can retire early and just live my life the way I want to. Like maybe, you know, maybe he was going to buy a house down south in a little warmer climate so he can go back and forth and not have to deal with 20 degree mornings and 50 degree afternoons. Maybe he was going to travel. Like maybe he wanted to go see places he had never seen before. Like those are the kinds of things that we wish we could do. But this isn't where Jesus ends the parable. This guy had earned all he could and saved all he could. But Jesus keeps telling the story. Give me the next couple verses, Katie. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. He's going to die. And he's going to die way sooner than he imagined he was going to die. And all of his effort in making money and saving money and putting it away, he was going to have nothing to show for it. When the day came, when his soul was demanded from him, when he died, nothing. He thought he had control over his money. He thought he was doing real well. But at this point, he looks back and goes, man, I was serving money the whole time. The whole time I was giving my life over to money. He invested in material things rather than things that would actually last. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. It's a warning. We can't just earn all we can and save all we can, or we'll be in this guy's boat. We got to be rich toward God. So that's a weird phrase. To be rich toward God is to give to God and to give the things that he loves. So this is where we get to our third principle. This is where we get to give all you can. And that's why, so one of the things we said from the beginning is all three of these have to be held together. You have to earn all you can. You have to save all you can. And you got to give all you can. So we're going to talk about giving this morning. And so in the context of giving, like, there's a lot we could say, a lot. And that's been true of every message so far in this series. There's been a lot we could say. But I think we just need to cut to the chase. So a lot of you have been around the church world for a lot. And you walk in and you open your bulletin and you're like, oh, the message is give all you can. And so you're counting the minutes till the magic word gets said. When's he going to say it? I know it's coming. But I think this is actually where we need to start, because it is the starting point. So this morning, take a deep breath with me. We're going to talk about tithing. If there was ominous music, that's where it would play, right? Like, we're going to talk about tithing. And I know that, like, stirs up all sorts of stuff. Like, you're already scheduling how many trips to the bathroom can I make in the next 20 minutes. Maybe I left my iron on at home. Look at your clothes. You haven't ironed your clothes in years. You did not leave your iron on. We try to think of all this stuff like, oh, I don't want to hear about this because, I hate talking about this. I don't want to hear about this. And inevitably, we go to a default mode and we say, well, you know what? When someone says, hey, what are they talking about in church this morning? They just want my money. Can I be honest with you? Like, that's not where I'm coming from. I hope you would see that. If you've been here previous weeks or as we move through this message and even what you've heard so far, I hope you would get that. That's not where I'm coming from. Like, this is honestly about not letting money control us anymore. Not letting money be this dictator in our life that says who you are and what you can be. I'm saying let's put that to death finally. And let's get a grip and let God be our master. Let God have control over us. And I think when we look at Scripture, the path through that is giving. And the starting point is tithing. So let's just start at the beginning. So let's try to deconstruct our thoughts and our feelings about tithing, what it means, and just sort of look at it in an honest way. So let's set aside all the churning stomachs and the they just want my money thoughts. Like, let's just set them off to the side and try to take an honest look at it first. So I think your first blanks on your insert have to do with the definition of tithing. So tithe, like, literally just means tenth. So if you've ever heard, well, how do we know a tithe is a tenth? Well, because that's what the word means. It just means tenth. So tithe is a tenth. And so for our purposes, tithing is giving 10% of our income back to God because he's provided 100% of it. 10% back because he's provided 100%. So there's two words you often hear with tithing, and that's proportional, that's percentage, that's 10%. And then systematic, like you give it regularly. So when you get paid or whenever, you have a pattern to how you give. That's what tithing is. But the key word in all of that is the word back. We give back 10% because he gave you the rest of it anyway. He gave you all of it. Like, the opportunities that you had to earn that money came from God. Your employer determining how much you make came from God. It's a blessing, whether it's a lot of money or a little bit of money. God gave that to you. He gave it to you. He gave it to you to care for. He gave it to you to steward. That's the word we see in the Bible a lot. To manage it. And so when we give 10% back, we're starting to put money in its proper place and saying, I recognize, that's your next blank on your insert, the tithe is our recognition of what God has provided for us. It's our way of saying, I know you gave me all of it. And because it was a gift from you, I can give 10% back to you because it was a gift to start with. There's nothing I did to actually warrant this. Jesus is my master. Money's not. And we show that by tithing. So this is actually the starting point for giving. So when we talk about like something like baptism, So when we talk about baptism, there's a lot of things that will happen. So someone says they're interested in being baptized, and we sit down and have a conversation with them. And a lot of things will come up during that conversation. But one of the things you hear a lot is, I'm not sure if I'm ready. And so when you unpack that statement, I'm not sure if I'm ready, usually you hear things about, you know, I don't have my life together in this area. I'm still struggling here. But baptism isn't like a certificate you get after you complete the first program. Baptism is a starting line. The only prerequisite for baptism is to commit your life to Christ. You might still struggle. You might not have all the answers to all your biblical questions, but it's the starting point. It's not a level you attain to. And so tithing is kind of the same way. It's the starting line. It's where you begin. It's 10%. It's $1 on every 10. You don't need to wait until you're making better money. Like, you don't need to wait until you make enough money that when you get your giving statement at the end of the year, it actually makes a difference on your taxes. Like, you don't need to wait till then. You don't need to wait until you got a better handle on your debt or on your bills. It's where you start, because it puts money in its proper place. If you're always waiting for something else, the money will always continue to have the same amount of control over you. We have to start by saying, before I do anything else, money is not in control. God is. Because when we don't, when we kind of get that a hold of that, I'm earning decent money and I'm saving decent money, we don't all of a sudden just feel like opening up our wallet and just doing this. It's not what happens. We grip it tighter and tighter and tighter. We start with giving. We start with giving when we only have a little. Because then, someday, if we have a lot, then we don't have this tight grip. It's the starting point. The problem is, like many of us aren't. So most studies show that in your typical church, less than 25% of people are tithing 10% of their income to their local church. And so there's a lot of thoughts about that. There's a lot of feelings about that. So, so when we started talking this morning about tithing, lots of things might have been pinging in your mind. And so let's try to unpack some of those. So let's play a little bit of fact or fiction with some of our most common thoughts about tithing. So here's the first one. The New Testament does not command us to tithe. Fact or fiction? I'm going to say fact. I'm going to say that if you open the New Testament and you look for a verse where Jesus or Paul or one of them other super cool early church guys says, you shall tithe 10% of your income, you're not going to find it. Sure. Yep. What I want to say is, you're not going to see a verse where it says you should tithe your income. You're also not really going to find a whole lot of commandments to pray every day. There are some things that aren't commanded, but they're just good practices. So one of the things the New Testament does is it takes commandments we hear in the Old Testament and helps us see the actual heart of the matter. So you've heard it said, do not murder. Jesus says, hate your brother, you've committed murder. You've heard it said, do not commit adultery. Jesus says, if you've ever looked at a woman in lust, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. So much of what we see in the New Testament is Jesus and Paul and all those letter writers saying, let's get to the heart of it. It's not about toeing the line and following the rules. It's about the heart of the matter. So let's look at something Paul said about giving. So Katie, give me that 2 Corinthians passage. So this is Paul, and this is a whole section about finances where he's talking to the Corinthian church about giving to another local church that's struggling. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So does the word tithe appear anywhere in there? Nope. Is there anything that indicates Paul is saying he wants you to give a certain amount or a certain percentage? No. So what's Paul actually getting at? He's getting at where we started. If you sow in the eternal, you will reap the eternal. If you sow material things, then you're not going to have much to show for it. You're going to be like our parable that we started with of the rich fool. You're going to get to the end and got nothing. Money was my master. I spent my whole life serving it. Paul's not saying, give this amount, do this. He's saying, which side of that equation do you want to be on? Do you want to be on the side of the story where you've sowed in eternal things, and when you finally reach the end of your life, Jesus can show you, man, these are all the things that happened through what you did with your finances? Or do you want to be that guy who gets there and they say, you can't bring that leather couch with you? Paul's not. So verse 7, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly. Like, he doesn't want you. I don't want you to say, well, it's got to be 10, and 10 is what it is, and no more, no less, and that's the rule. Paul's saying it's not about the rule, it's about the heart. It's about the heart. Like, what is God stirring in your heart? He's not talking about percentages and tithing, because that's the starting line. And he's at the finish line. He's saying, where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? So there's a quote from John Wesley that appears further down on your insert that is just good for every part of this message. Not how much of my money will I give to God, but how much of God's money will I keep for myself? That's a perspective thing. It's a perspective thing. All right, so let's go to the next one. I don't make enough money to tithe. So what do you think? Fact or fiction? Hearing lots of fictions, and I will agree with fiction. So what is tithing? Tithing is just a matter of trust. Do you trust God? I mean, like, actually trust him. So everyone who would be here this morning who would say they're a Christian, if we went around and said, do you trust God? Do you trust God? Yes, I trust God. Yes, I trust God. But there's this expression, like, put your money where your mouth is. I think it's applicable here. Like, can we put our money where our mouth is and say, I trust God with my money? It's scary. When we don't have a lot of money, when we're making little, it's scary to give that 10%. It might seem like such a small, small amount in the grand scheme of things, but it can be really scary. But do you trust God? Do you trust God to take care of you? Do you trust God to care for your needs? So let's take a look at one of the most famous passages in the Bible about tithing and giving, and it's in Malachi, and we're going to look at the verses on each side of it, because it helps give us context, and the first couple of verses are kind of scary. So beginning in verse 8, will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? God replies, in tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Okay, keep going. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing you will not have enough room for it. Do you believe that? Do you trust God to take care of you? Now, you know what? So some people take this verse and they hold it up high and say, if you start tithing this Sunday, you'll be rich by spring. Those people are wrong. Those people are very, very, very wrong. But do you think you'll be taken care of? Yeah. Do you think that God will show up and do something out of the blue, miraculous, you didn't expect to provide for your need? Yeah, I do. Maybe that looks like a check that comes in the mail that you didn't expect, or maybe that just looks like someone giving you something that meets that need. Doesn't have to always come in the form of money, but someone provides something for you that meets the need that you had, and you weren't even looking for it, but there it is. It just shows up. Do you trust God? Do you trust him in a little? Do you trust him in a lot? That's really the crux of the matter. All right, so let's go to the next one. And this is kind of a twofer, but I think it has the same answer. There are many good places to give to, so it's okay to divide your tithe or tithe in other ways than your finances. So this is something that gets said a lot. So maybe you're providing food for an event at church or something like that, and you're like, well, so my effort and the money I spent on food, that'll be my tithe for this week. Or maybe you're driving for an event, and you're like, well, the money I spend on gas and the wear and tear on my car, that'll be my tithe. Or maybe you get a letter from a Christian organization in the mail, and it's not one that our church is involved with or supports, but you really believe in what they're doing, so you're going to send a portion of your tithe away to them. Is that okay? Fact or fiction? It's a little more quiet, huh? So I'll be honest with you. I think if we look at it in a completely static way, I think I could stand up here and make a case for either. But I don't think Jesus wants us to look at things in a static, sterile, in a vacuum sort of way. So let's take a step back and maybe approach this question from our original starting point. So our original starting point was money has been our master. It has had control over us. When we try to control it more, somehow it ends up controlling us more. We strive and we claw and we fight to get more of it. We've convinced ourselves that our happiness and our stability is found in our money. We serve it. So when it comes to giving, and we're talking about that starting point here, so the 10%, the tithe, when it comes to giving, what do you think is best for us? Is it best to give a little bit here, give a little bit there, provide this rather than that, which is really telling God how he's going to get it? Or is it better if we just let go of it and say, here it is, it's yours, do with it as you would, because it was yours to begin with? I think the healthiest situation for us is when we do not try to control the tithe. So we do not try to control it. Like God has abundantly provided for us, even when it's just enough. And giving that back to him is our recognition that it came from him. So why are we trying to control how he gets it? Have you ever, think about when it was your birthday. And you just wanted the coolest gifts ever. And some aunt or uncle knew you needed underwear. So they just got you underwear. Worst birthday present ever, right? Like, none of us like it when someone else decides how we're going to receive a blessing or how we're going to receive a gift. Man, just let go. Just let go. Now, I'm not saying we don't give to other places. Like, I want you to hear me carefully. Like, we give to other ministries. We provide in other ways. But I'm saying that the 10% needs to be the part that we just let go of. We don't control it, and we give it to the local church. Okay, that's where the antennas go up, and we're going, ah, they just want my money. They just want my money. This is when I'm going to stop listening. Wait, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay? So a question might come up and say, well, aren't you exercising some control then? You know, with everything in me, I wish that every Sunday morning, Jesus would walk in and we could directly hand him our offering and our tithe, and then everything was good and he would use it as he sees fit. It's not reality. The local church is the representative of Christ. It's the body of Christ. And so we give to our local church because it's the closest thing we got. It's the closest thing we got. And honestly, so I'll say this. If you feel like there's something disingenuous in me about that, like, I don't know, I still think you just want my money. Fine, give it to a different church. And then when you realize you're wrong, start giving it here again. All right? Because I think you will. I think you'll find out. So of our three principles, this is the hardest one. Absolutely, it's the hardest one. Because it strikes so close to our heart. It strikes so close to who we are. So our sinful desires and our sinful nature, it can get on board with making more money and being a better employee. It can get on board with finding better opportunities. Our sinful desires, they can get on board with saving money and building a bank account and those kinds of things. But it cannot get on board with giving to God. And so I really think that a lot of times when we start talking about tithing and giving in church, it's just our sinful desire getting in front of us and saying, no, that's too far, that's too far. Maybe it's because money's been our master. And our master's getting his hackles up, and he's saying, oh no, you won't overthrow me. I'm still in charge of the ship. Man, aren't you just sick of money being in charge? Aren't you just tired of it? So I told you, like I'm just getting this. And so tithing has been hard for me. So before we had online giving, some of you know because I've said this a bunch, I am a creature of the modern age and don't do checks. I have no checkbook. I've never possessed a checkbook. I know some of you are appalled. We can talk about it later. So I've never possessed a checkbook. So before we started to do things with online giving where I could give with my debit card, it meant that in order to give, I had to have cash in my hand when I came in the church on Sunday. To have cash in my hand meant I needed to stop at Get-Go or Sheets and go to the ATM because it's free to pull money out of those places and pull money out. Would you believe that I can probably list 99 excuses not to right now? Like, I can sit here and say, well, you know, I had a really long weekend. I'm tired. I'd have to wake up 15 minutes earlier just to be able to get that. I'll catch it up next week. I don't. Well, you know what? I work at the church. Well, you know what? So Sunday's just really hard. I'll bring it in Monday morning. I'll drop it off Monday, Tuesday, whatever. It doesn't happen. It sounds reasonable. It sounds reasonable. But it's just me and my sinful desire stopping it. That's all it is. And I think, so you know what? Like, if you're here this morning, and let me just say, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, then, no one expects you to tithe 10% anywhere, okay? But man, if you're a Christian, I'm just saying that breaks chains that money has on you. Begins to set you free in ways you didn't know you were trapped. At the very least, you stop feeling weird when there's a sermon like this. At minimum. but also in other ways too. We got to start a revolution where money no longer grips us like this. Money no longer determines whether we can handle our basic needs in life. It's God's job. God will take care of us. Earning more, saving more, managing the resources that God has given us, being good stewards, that all contributes. But the way we finally break it is to give. It's about time we put money in its place. We need to put money down. So our ultimate act of rebellion, our ultimate act of overthrowing the authority that money has had over us, is giving to God. We have to give to God to truly gain our financial freedom. Well, I want to draw your attention to the backside of your connection card and the next steps that are there. So let's just talk down through these a little bit. The first one, I will begin to tithe. So, you know, again, so we talked, does the New Testament command it? No, but it's a place to start. It's a place to start. So just as Paul said, you decide what to give, and God loves a cheerful giver. But I'm telling you, you can do that 10%. I think that's a starting point, not something we work up towards. There are some instances where it might be helpful for you to start at 5% or 7% or not to even think about that and just to give. But I think you can just take the step. And again, if there's something disingenuous that you sense about me, then figure out a different way to do it. But I hope not. So then the next one, based on my giving habits, so we're talking about however you give and whatever way you give, financially, your time, otherwise, I will assess whether God is in control, I am, or the money is. So what is that based on when you give of your finances, of your time, of your effort? Is that based on you? Is that based on God? Is that based on the resources you have? It'd just be good to spend some time thinking about that. The third one, I will try recurring giving at tfreechurch.org/give. So that's where you go to do our online giving. You can also text tfreegive to 77977, and that gets you a link and a text message. But let me say this. So during the message, I said that, I could come up with 99 excuses for why I could walk into the sanctuary without cash in my hand on a Sunday morning to give. It's easy to come up with excuses not to. So when we started doing online giving, I went and I reset recurring giving. So on the day I'm paid, my 10% comes out and it goes to the church bank account. And I set it up so it happens automatically. Now there might be some who would say, well, that doesn't seem very spiritual. You're not even thinking about it. It's just going. Okay, you're right. I'm not thinking about it. Because you know why? If I think about it, I'll have 99 reasons not to. But by it just going on its own, I need to come up with reasons to stop. And I don't have a single good reason to stop. So recurring giving can be really, really helpful. So if that's something you might be inclined towards, check that out. You can do it either via a debit card or like an ACH, like an online check transaction. And the last one, to continue learning, I will check out the If Money Talks series by Andy Stanley on Right Now Media. So a couple things with this. So we said there's more that we could say in this series. Like we could do weeks and weeks and weeks and to cover everything, but we can't. So Right Now Media is a resource that we offer free of charge to all of you. It's kind of like a Netflix streaming type service. It's got lots of content for kids on it. It's got lots of Bible study content. And this series by Andy Stanley called If Money Talked is really, really good. It's just 20-minute video sessions. He's a way better talker than I am, so you will probably enjoy listening to him. There's some instructions on the back side of your insert and in your bulletin about how to get Right Now Media. Many of you probably have accounts and don't realize it because we sent you invitations a long time ago, and you just need to go through the process of re-upping your, changing your password and all those kinds of things you got to do when you forget you have an account for something. But the really cool thing is if you tried it before, there are some changes. Like, so they have an app in the Roku channel store. So if you have a Roku, you can just add it to your home screen in the same way you would have Netflix or Hulu or something like that. You can also add the app to your phone, so you can stream it with a Chromecast or something like that. So lots of good stuff there. Or you can just go on a computer and go to rightnowmedia.com and look it up. So check those out. That would be really helpful.
Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website at tfreechurch.org to listen to our regular podcast and find out more about all that is T Free Church.